They Still Call Me Terry. Here we go. That theme music can mean only one thing. It's time for Movies with Michael. Good morning, Michael.
I'll be calling you Danny.
You can indeed call me Danny.
Good morning.
You can call this breakfast show 2SER Breakfast. You can call this one of the highlights of my week, where you come in and let us know about the films that you've checked out this week.
Nice to be back with you again. Three films today, ranging from the sublime to the ridiculous. Let's start with the sublime and work our way down, shall we?
Is this sort of down in, like, quality?
Possibly. Right. We'll start with a movie called Corsage, which stars Vicky Krieps, who you might remember from movies like Phantom Thread and Old. It also stars quite a few Europeans who you've probably never heard of, like Florian Teichtmeister, and Aaron Fries, who've done a lot of German and Austrian TV. Pulling the strings on Corsage, get it, is Marie Kreutzer. She wrote and directed this film. She's done movies like The Ground Beneath My Feet. And this film's won multiple awards at various European film festivals, like Cannes. It's 1877, and Empress Elizabeth of Austria, Hungary, played by Krieps, has given up playing by the rules and living up to the expectations of her title. If she doesn't feel like attending an event, she just feigns illness or doesn't even bother showing up. She spends a lot of time on holidays, and she's even told Emperor Franz Joseph that there'll be no more kids, thus no more sex. She also fears for her fading beauty. The Emperor and his staff don't really know how to handle Empress Elizabeth, and she kind of loves it. She'll do royalty her way, thank you very, very much. There really was an Emperor Elizabeth of Austria-Hungary who was known for her many eccentricities.
Based on a true story, eh?
Yes, but this is a mostly fictional account. In this case, everything but the names have been changed.
Okay.
This might seem a slightly odd approach to the non-Austro-Hungarian viewer, but apparently Empress Elizabeth, due to her many eccentricities, has been the subject of many films about her life, and in fact there have been five in the last two or three years alone in Europe. Another point of difference for this period piece, what at first appear to be mistakes, like not covering up some modern features on some of the sets, and background characters wearing things that don't seem to be totally 1877, if you will, to the use of a couple of modern cheesy pop songs in the soundtrack. I suppose this is to emphasise that this is a very 21st century take on a 19th century woman. Krieps is brilliant in her role, though. She plays a highly complex character, at the same time having a massive ego yet being incredibly vulnerable. She's strong-willed, yet she's constrained by convention, hence the title of the film, Corsage. This film, possibly a bit too art house and melancholy at times for some, but others may be sustained by lavish costumes and sets. Corsage does have many layers, and it is a lot more liberating than the title does suggest.
Excellent. So we started with high-quality films. Let's get down.
Let's move down. Spoiler alert, starring Jim Parsons.
So spoiler alert's the name of this film.
That is the name of the film,
right.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Starring Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory, Ben Aldridge, who was in Knock at the Cabin that I talked about last week, and Fleabag. This one's directed by Michael Showalter, who's made movies like The Eyes of Tammy Faye and The Big Sick recently. This is based on a book by Michael Oziello. Spoiler alert, the hero dies. So, spoiler alert follows the story of Michael Oziello, in this case played by Jim Parsons, and Kit Cowan, played by Ben Aldridge, and their relationship from awkward, tentative beginning right through to the end. How does the relationship end? Well, let's just say spoiler alert is a pretty accurate title, as the story is told mostly in flashbacks and some fantasy sequences, which are actually kind of clunky and a little bit irritating. Not really as funny as I think the filmmaker intended. Look, a film about a relationship between two people really relies heavily on the chemistry between the two leads, and whilst I get that Michael Oziello's character is awkward and repressed, Parsons' performance goes so far in that direction, it's almost impossible to see how he could have formed a relationship with Aldridge's effortlessly charming Kit. Parsons at times looks like he's holding on to a turd in many scenes. He's so uptight. And his face just looks kind of weird. I don't know why. Once you do get past that, I guess spoiler alert is one of those 10-pack of tissues generic romantic dramas that will make you feel something for a while and then just get a bit frustrated, like my plus one did when she asked, why do so many of these mainstream LGBTI romantic dramas end in tragedy? I hope I didn't spoil anything there for you. Look, can't they just make it just once? Now that would be a twist indeed. just average. Spoiler alert, felt slightly overcooked. Spoiled, if you will.
And your final film for today, returning to the world of Magic Mike, are you?
Yeah, moving on, or is that grooving on to Magic Mike's Last Dance? This one's starring Channing Tatum, as the previous two were. Salma Hayek from Frida and Desperado. Ayub Khan Din from Sammy and Rosie Get Laid. This one directed by Steven Soderbergh, a man who's made many, many great films like Sex, Lies and Videotape, Traffic, Aaron Brockovich, and then also the first Magic Mike. He's obviously back to recapture some of that magic, I guess. This was my first foray into the Magic Mike franchise. I don't really think I'm the target audience. That was pretty obvious from the screening that I attended, 90% of whom were women, ranging from mid-20s to mid-40s.
The Magic Mike Extended Universe target market there.
Yeah, who apparently have a bit of a yearning, and that yearning is for hot men with wax chests who can dance and or simulate sex acts. Plot? Who cares? For what it's worth, Act 3 in the Magic Mike story sees our hero Mike, played by Tatum, get whisked off to London by a wealthy socialite called Maxandra Mendoza, played by Hayek, mainly to stick it up her ex-husband, and also to convert a state-old theatre showing a boring play into a state-old theatre featuring an all-male review of waxed, oiled-up dudes popping, locking, gyrating, and grabbing their crotches to some R&B and hip-hop bangers.
Sounds good.
Yeah. One of the themes running through this film is female empowerment, but it only seems to be female empowerment if there's romantic involvement with a man somewhere in there.
Right.
Can't there be female empowerment just by focusing on career, friends, hobbies, that sort of stuff? But I guess that would mean less oiled up dudes in the film. There's also a voiceover stitching the very paper-thin plot together, talking about the origins and history and the symbology and meanings of dance. I don't really think the target audience gives a kickball change for that sort of stuff. See above references to gyrating, oiled up hunks. Look, apart from the dance sequences, Magic Mike's Last Dance really lacked any dynamism at all. There's some really awful dialogue too, and stars from the previous two films are reduced to an appearance on a Zoom call. It's really kind of tacked on. Even bringing Magic Mike to London seems a bit sad and desperate. It seems to be where franchises go to die. Anyone remember Basic Instinct 2 or London Has Fallen?
No, I don't.
Set in London and both awful. Pretty much a cobbled together mess. Magic Mike's Last Dance is a franchise very much on its last legs. There are no more rabbits to be found in this hat.
Thank you very much, Michael, my favourite oiled up gyrating dude. Here's Ernie Vincent, the original Dap King with Guilty as Funk now for you on your radio. You're listening to 2SER Breakfast. There'll be more movies with Michael next week. Art About Town coming up real soon. Thanks, mate.
Pleasure.